There you are.
My microphone stopped working, so I had to move to the guest mic. I was going to encourage you to, like, I don't know, give your best heavy metal voice or something.
I was working on it, but then I couldn't hear myself at all. But we, I think we got all those things fixed out now.
I was punching buttons, and they weren't working. So.
Well, it's 5:08 on a Tuesday afternoon. That can only mean one thing on Coleman's Live 95. That means it is time for Prep Sports Talk Live. But you're not used to hearing me, Tommy Warhurst. You're used to hearing Dylan Diemert, Christopher Greer, and Josh Lawler. Dylan Diemert couldn't be with us this evening due to other work commitments. Chris Greer stuck in Georgia. Josh Lawler, probably on the golf course this afternoon.
But stuck in traffic.
Making his way to the studio for Sports Talk Live. I'm Tommy Warhurst. Glad you are with us here for Sports Talk Live this afternoon. We're going to talk high school sports in and around Coleman County. You are welcome to call in. Talk about games you went to, talk about games that are coming up, or just talk about your thoughts on Coleman County High School sports. The number to the studio is 256-737-9505, 256-737-9505. If you're listening, you're a sports writer for the Tribune, the Times, or just know sports in general, you want to swing by the studio. If you know where we are, come on by. You're invited to come by and join us. We're going to talk about all eight of our Coleman County teams this afternoon. Talk a little bit about last week's games, preview games coming up, or whatever you have in mind at 256-737-9505. Friday Night Live last week didn't have a lot of action. Ended up being a little bit more of a runaway than we like to have here on Live 95. But this week should promise to be a good game. Both teams, obviously, as we're in the thick of region play this week, both teams trying to get in the winning column in region play. Both of them struggling a little bit.
And is this working? Yeah, I think it's working. All right. So, am I correct in hearing that all of the county schools now are defeated? There's nobody with an undefeated record.
There's no one with an undefeated record in the county anymore. The closest to that is still the Good Hope Raiders.
You know, Tommy, you and I being Auburn fans, we kind of felt that sorrow at the same time on Saturday. In fact, I'm preparing to start Sports Talk Live on Thursday with maybe taps for Jason Spiegel, because it's over for us this year.
That's some kind of I don't know.
It's the poorest
excuse of an offense that we've seen out of any college team, or much less some small high school teams as well.
But I feel slightly better after, you know, having my spirits raised a little bit during last hour's Live Talk Live. But you know, I really need a counselor.
So. you've got a good one here if you do. Friday Night Live this coming Friday night will travel to Bluntsville, as the J.B. Pennington Tigers will host the Holly Pond Broncos in a key region game. We'll kind of preview it a little bit, talk more about it when Josh gets here. But Pennington kind of struggling this season. They're 500. They're 2-1 in the region, though. Holly Pond, 5-2 on the season. They're 2-2 in the region. This one is a lot closer on paper. That's why I think that Friday Night Live is going to have a dandy this Friday night at 7 o'clock. From Bluntsville, as Holly Pond and the Broncos travel to J.B. Pennington in a big region game, with the winner of that one looking to solidify a spot, hopefully, in that top four in the playoffs. More on that game coming up. Once Josh gets here, we kind of preview those a little bit more. Let's go real quickly and look back at last week to see how the teams fared. If you haven't seen the scores or haven't heard them, and welcome all of those of you who are on Facebook. We'll look up at the camera and wave at you. You can also join us on Facebook. Just go to Coleman's Live 95 on Facebook. You can kind of see the studio here, what we're talking about. You can join in on Facebook, chat with us as well if you're not able to listen on 95.5 FM. You can also stream it anywhere in the world, too, at www.live95coleman.com. Or if you're traveling, you can get the TuneIn Radio app. Just search WRJMLP Coleman. You can listen to us anywhere in the world via the TuneIn Radio app. Last week, going somewhat alphabetically till I get out of order, Cold Springs lost to Appalachian in a close one, 35-34. Working down the way, the Coleman Bearcats also had a nail-biter. The Coleman Bearcats had every opportunity to win the game last week. It was just not in the cards for them to come away with a win. They lost to Athens in a big region game in overtime, 19-16. Coleman actually led that game the entire way through to the last 50 seconds. Athens scored and tied it up, sent it into overtime. Coleman could not score in their first possession. They held Athens on three downs, and on fourth down, Athens kicked a field goal and won that one in the final overtime at 19-16. The Fairview Aggies traveled to North Jackson in what has been talked about being one of the dirtiest played games that people had ever seen. North Jackson beat Fairview 78-12. On one hand, there's no reason any school should ever give up 78 points. You got to figure out a way to stop somebody, for one. On the other hand, when you're playing the officials and you're playing a bunch of players who are, according to reports, I wasn't there, but hearing reports from folks who are playing really dirty, dirty to the point to where they're grabbing and punching your players and your players are throwing up on the sideline, then that's uncalled for. I think there's video evidence that's being sent to the Alabama High School Athletic Association to try to at least bring some attention to what was going on up there in North Jackson. Again, wasn't there. These are reports coming in from folks who were there, were on the sidelines. Hate to see that happen in any sport, much less in high school football when you've got kids out there playing as well. Following that, you go to the Good Hope Northside game, where the Good Hope Raiders had their first loss of the season, losing 42-27 to Northside. This wasn't a dirty played game, but you go back to playing the officials as well, and the word from Good Hope is they're also sending video to the Alabama High School Athletic Association for poor calls in that game. So Fairview and Good Hope both not on the winning end last week, and neither one of them on the good luck end when it comes to officiating or sportsmanship as well. And how'd you shoot today, Josh?
7 under, as always. As always.
Josh Lawler joining us, and I've just kind of taken over your show. Joining us. I'm actually joining you, but you're just the one coming in late.
You did great. You did absolutely great. And I hate to be tied up like that, but, you know, when you sign as many autographs as I do, you can't get away from the from the golf cart. But please continue.
No, we talked a little bit about Holly Pond Pennington coming up. Mm-hmm. Just said that game is coming up. We haven't talked about the details of it. Mm-hmm. Been going back and kind of recapping last week. All the way down to Hansville in midfield. Once again, the Hansville Bulldogs give up 70 points on the season. They lose to midfield 70-18. Really problems down in Hansville with the Bulldogs. They just can't seem to get it together. Mm-hmm. 1-6 on the season so far. The Holly Pond Broncos, we mentioned, who are the game of the week this week at Pennington. Right. They beat Locust Fort last week 36-10. The Broncos improved to 5-2 on the season, 2-2 in the region. More on them when we preview J.B. Pennington coming up for the Friday Night Live game of the week. The Vinemont Eagles losing to Fultondale 33-12. Also a region loss there. Vinemont falls to 3-4 and 1-2. And then the West Point Warriors, who came out of the gate strong. In fact, you guys, I think, covered two of their first three or four games. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And thought, you know, these guys are for real.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden they get into the meat of region play. And West Point falls last week to Jasper 54-20. That was the Friday Night Live game of the week last week.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we saw some great players on West Point's probably second or third string there, and that became the topic of discussion there towards the end. But, you know, a 4-week losing streak for West Point, that's a tough one.
So West Point falls to 2-4 on the season, and they are winless mm-hmm. in the region.
Mm-hmm. Which hurts. Hurts pretty bad.
You're invited to join us. 737-9505 is the hotline for Prep Sports Talk Live here in studio. Tommy Warhurst alongside Josh Lawler. Mm-hmm. We'll dive more into the games coming up this week and our Friday Night Live game of the week and take your phone calls too. Actually, it says 525, not 515. I'm trying to go to break at 515.
Well, that's okay. We'll settle out and I'll pull up all my papers and we'll go ahead and take that break.
But you can't take the break right now because I've got the computer down for maintenance.
Oh, no. Okay, then I will keep talking. Let's dive right into next week's. Last week I got in trouble because I don't ever count Addison as part of our group, but Dylan included them, and I didn't have anything on them. So we'll start with Addison this week. Add another one to the top of your alphabetical list there. I was listening on the way over, believe it or not. But, yeah, Addison, 5-2. Let's see. Yeah, that one's split. Addison, 5-2, 2-1 in the conference. Tanner is who they're playing. At home, they're playing Tanner. 1-5 one and two in the region. So, conference-wise, it looks like it's a close game. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there's no way that Tanner can keep up with Addison. Tough loss, though, to Colbert County. We did watch that score as it rolled in last Friday, Friday Night Live. We kept up with that one a little bit, but there's no way they struggle. This is going to be one of those weeks for Addison where they practice executing everything that they're supposed to, and maybe even one of those games where they get second string in to practice execution.
You know, and Addison's probably taking a big sigh of relief going,
yes,
C.J. Yarbrough moved from Tanner to West Limestone. He's their big D1 recruit, and believe he moved to West Limestone to get a little bit more exposure than what he was going to get at Tanner.
Yeah.
But in years past, C.J. Yarbrough was the guy on the football field and on the basketball field. He was your MVP at Wallace State each year for the basketball regionals. So an incredible athlete that Addison will not have to face on Friday night.
And looks like computer maintenance is over. So
there we go.
We'll take this break, and I'll get everything straightened out before continuing. This is Tommy Warhurst and Josh Lawler for Prep Talk Live. We'll be back.
Coleman Appliance Repair is your locally owned and operated appliance and repair company. Servicing most models and brands, they can be found on Facebook or Google for in-home appliance repair needs. Proudly supporting Coleman area athletics and collegiate football, when that appliance frustrates you and you're in need of a repairman, Robert Brantley is ready to help. You can call him at 256-507-3415 or find him on Facebook, Google, or online at ColemanApplianceRepair.com.
Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant, has been a proud supporter of Live 95 since the early days. Angela at Scissor Salon does her best to keep you looking your best. Haircuts, colors, perms, scissors can handle them all. And walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant. 735-3089. 735-3089. Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
Five 20 on a Tuesday afternoon, Prep Talk Live. Tommy Warhurst setting in for Dylan Diemert alongside Josh Lawler as we get you set for all of this coming Friday night's high school football action.
That's right. I failed to mention earlier, Tommy, we were talking about the Addison game there shortly before we went to break. I'll go ahead and let you know my pick on that one. I'm going to say 40-7 Addison. I think it's going to be a huge game. Tanner just not keeping it together all season long, and if you take a look at the schedule and some of these previous games from Addison has no problem breaking into 40 points or close to 40 points. So 40-7 Addison is Josh's pick this week.
So getting to Addison, we'll start next with Cold Springs. Mm-hmm. Cold Springs has a region game this week at Winston County. Cold Springs comes in 4-2, 2-1 in the region. Winston County almost just the complete opposite. 2-4 on the season, 1-2 in the region. We mentioned a few moments ago, Cold Springs lost to Appalachian last week, 35-34. Winston County likewise lost to Aliceville, 22-8. Both teams have lost to Aliceville this season in region play. Cold Springs comes in with something you don't want, but something you want to break, and that's a two-game losing streak.
Right. And Aliceville putting up big numbers on both of those teams. I think that really starts to say a lot about Aliceville instead, because Aliceville I've got here beat Cold Springs 54-6. So pretty huge. Other than that, you know, Cold Springs was one of our teams for a long time that was undefeated. You know, literally 2 weeks ago was them and Good Hope were the two teams to watch. So. Really tough, a really close loss to Appalachian last week, Cold Springs had. So I'm not going to chalk it up to them continuing this losing streak. I really think that they'll beat Winston County, but I think it'll be close, closer than it probably should be. You know, just looking at the win loss for both teams, like you said earlier, it's literally flipped 4-2 for Cold Springs, 2-4 for the Yellow Jackets. It seems like it's more than that, but it's not. I'm going to say Cold Springs 24-14 for that game. The Yellow Jackets not scored a single win on the road. But even if it was at home, this still wouldn't be a game.
Well, Appalachian, listen to me. Cold Springs comes in dead even, scoring 27 points a game, giving up 27 points mm-hmm. a game. And like you said, Winston County allowing 28 and only scoring 19.
Yep.
So like you said, this one looks to be the way of Rodney Elliott and the Eagles and getting themselves back in the win column. Nobody on the phone line. If you want to join us, 256-737-9505. 256-737-9505 if someone breaks into a vehicle out in the parking lot that you probably heard.
That's right.
No, just kidding. Just someone alarm going off. We're going to skip by Coleman Muscle Shows for the
okay.
moment.
Yeah, right. If you happen to be a sheriff's deputy or city police officer driving, just stop on in and participate in the show. It's
there
all
you
good.
Go. So. Talk football.
We skip over Coleman Muscle Shows for the moment and drop down to Fairview mm-hmm. in the region game against West Morgan. And mm-hmm. what a tale of 2 years for both of these programs. The Fairview Aggies, very successful in years past in Class 5A. West Morgan, struggling hard, moving mm-hmm. from Class 3A up to Class 5A.
Oh, really?
Okay. West Morgan went deep into the playoffs last year as a 3A team. They jumped to Class 5A this year, and they're struggling at 1-6 overall and 1-3 in their region.
Okay, that makes so much more sense because I'm looking at these numbers not knowing anything about West Morgan and going, what is wrong with this team?
West Morgan was okay. Not really a powerhouse in Class 3A, mm-hmm. but not a place that you wanted to go play a game.
Yeah.
And when they came in, they were going to move the ball, and they're going to hit you hard.
Mm-hmm.
Corn-fed boys, like they used to talk about back in the day.
Yeah.
And West Morgan got beat last week 56-6 by St. John Paul II.
Oh, yes. I've seen that name a couple of times already this season.
So that a team that we're used to seeing here in West Point and vice versa as mm-hmm. West Point goes mm-hmm. there. But so Fairview comes in 2-4, 1-3 in the region. They lost last week, as I mentioned, 78-12 to North Jackson. And West Morgan comes in 1-6 overall and 1-3 in the region. It is in West Morgan, which is just west of Decatur down Highway 24 okay. between Decatur and Moulton. A nice setting for a football game. When you go into that place, I'm telling you, those boys are going to hit you. They're mm-hmm. going to hit you in the mouth. They're going to get up, and they're going to do it again. So Fairview's got their hands full Friday night. But you kind of want to lean toward Fairview and the Aggies?
Yeah, yeah.
Just because of the way West Morgan season is, but I'm telling you, these boys are going to play hard.
Yes.
Yeah, they may be 1-6 in Class 5A just because they're outmanned coming from being a 3A school last year. But obviously they've got the students to be 5A.
Right.
That they may not have the kids coming the
sports,
out for the sports.
Yeah. Yeah. And you see that in a couple of places. Hayden's one of those, considering they're so close to where I live. Hayden's one of those that had the student numbers, but never had the athletics. And that's been going on probably for the past 5 or 6 years down in Hayden.
Or 20 years.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, really. Hayden for historically has always been the largest school in the Blount County school system, even larger than Aniana,
which says a lot because Aniana's campus is huge.
It's
now.
Just, yeah. Hayden is just a bedroom community, and for some reason mm-hmm. they can't get the students out.
But I agree with it being a close game. Fairview not having a good season, maybe West Morgan finally starting to adapt to something in the season. I think this will be really close. I'm still thinking Fairview, but I'm leaning towards like 30-24 in Fairview's favor. Totally wouldn't surprise me if it would be the same score, but the other way, if it was 30-24 for the Rebels.
Fairview comes in scoring 22 per game. West Morgan's giving up 56 per game.
Mm-hmm.
Fairview only allowing 39 points per game, but West Morgan only scoring 23. It's going to be a close ball game.
Absolutely. It's definitely one we want to keep track of.
Yeah. And you may be surprised to see the 1-6 West Morgan Rebels climb to 2-6.
Hmm.
Just from the history of that program and knowing what they have had historically.
Man, that would be tough for Fairview because I'm looking at their schedule and all of their losses not in a row, but four already. One more to a regional contestant, and that's pretty much it for Fairview this season. The rest of their schedule looks like Randolph and Danville for regionals, and then they go to Holly Pond at the very last game. And I really think that Holly Pond game's not going to go their way either.
No, it probably won't again this season. That is a rivalry game more than anything.
Mm-hmm. But they've got the West Point game. So maybe they hang their season on the West Point game, right?
Guys, got a question off Facebook here. Don't know if y'all can answer it or not, but we'll give it a stab. Got a Chris from Pell City reporting in. Says he's a Sachs High School grad. Wants to know if there's any 3A teams up this way.
Yes. Or is 3A the gap? I'm going to have to go back and look.
Holly Pond.
Is Holly Pond? Yes, that's right, because they're in the group with Locust Fork. So Holly Pond, Holly Pond's in that group with Locust Fork and Pennington, and is Hansville in that group too?
I'm thinking that Hansville and Fultondale, oh, obviously Fultondale being south, Hansville and Holly Pond are both in the 3A in the same region.
Mm-hmm.
And Good Hope is 4A, Cold Springs is... Did Vinemont fall down to 2A? I'm pure ignorance here. I should know this as I'm coming in to help you host a show. But
I don't know it either because Vinemont... No, let's see. Well, Vinemont's in there with Fultondale and Locust Fork.
So we have Vinemont, we have Hansville, and we have Holly Pond that are all 3A teams.
Yes.
Good Hope is 4A.
Yes.
You're the regular host. I'm just a sit-in. Come on.
See, I don't know these things because I'm a transplant. Man, I've been living that Blount County life, which now we're all part of this. But when I was down at Locust Fork, we were 4A, but I think they've dropped.
I saw highlights of Sachs last Friday night, but I can't remember who they played or if they won or lost or whatever. But thanks for listening to us either via Facebook or via the TuneIn Radio app all the way from Pell City.
Yeah, and he commented on Facebook. So if you want to tell us a little bit about that Sachs game, give us a call. It's 256-737-9505. And we will gladly talk to you about a football team that I don't know anything about.
Right.
So expand a little bit on that region if you know a little bit. You don't have to know very much more at all to know more than I do. But, you know, I do my research and try to keep up.
Staying back in Colman County from the Fairviews to the G's and the Good Hope Raiders. What a season.
Oh, man.
Coach Alan Scott and the Raiders have been having over at Good Hope.
Mm-hmm. And the Northside game was closer than it looked. We were not there for Friday Night Live, but we kept track of all of the scores, and that one started to climb, probably mid-third quarter. I watched it get a little closer, because they may have had two scores by that third quarter, and then everything else showed up. Northside just barely holding on, because I think if Good Hope had maybe 6 or 8 more minutes, it would have been tie ball game.
Good Hope was mounting a charge to come back.
Yep.
And from people that were there, again, that's what I mentioned earlier, just like the Fairview game. Fairview got mistreated last week by players and officials.
Yes.
The Good Hope game was one of those games where if a linebacker looked a quarterback in the eye, he probably got a roughing call.
Yes, yes.
Just for making contact with a quarterback. So Good Hope comes in 5-1, 2-1 in the region. Their only loss this season and in the region was the 42-27 loss last week to Northside. They're averaging 37 points a game, only giving up 15. Hats off to Alan Scott's defense out there, just giving up 15 points in 6 ball games. They take on Haleyville.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing is Good Hope gets them at home. The Lions come in a little bit down as well. The Lions of Haleyville only 2-4 on the season, 1-2 in the region. They lost last week to Curry 27-13.
And that's really a tough region to be in because you're looking at Good Hope. Good Hope is a win-loss team. In the region, they're 2-1. But that still only puts them at third. Let's see. Look at my notes here. Only losing to Northside. We watched the score. The Raiders tried to come back in the last corner. Wasn't enough time on the clock. I'm digging through everything I just said. Worth mentioning, Northside was second in the region only because they lost to Fayette County, and Fayette County happens to be 4-0 in the region already. You know, they stacked all of their region opponents up front, which is pretty bold of a move because every other team you see really in all of our coverage is, you know, almost the last 4 games are all regional. It's, right. You're trying to find that execution that I talked about earlier. But you know, such a tough team. You're looking at Fayette County 4-0 in the region, and then Northside, I believe, is now 3-1 in the region. So, you know, good hope, almost an undefeated team halfway through the season, and third place.
This will be a good game at Good Hope Friday night. My opinion is the Raiders come out with a big win at home against Haleyville.
Guys, your Facebook commenter has joined you on the phone.
That's what I was about to say. Thanks to the great technology of having Prep Talk Live on Facebook, having it on TuneIn Radio, and being able to stream it online. Chris joins us from Facebook. Chris, thanks for joining Tommy and Josh on Prep Sports Live.
You know, I was actually thinking 2013 Sachs, where I'm originally from, was a 3A school, and our first opponent in the playoffs was Good Hope.
And interesting.
Very nice fan base. You know, we actually won the region that year, so they were the fourth seed in their region. You know, very nice fan base, very good team. And, you know, this year, well, last year, let's go back to last year, we were still 4A, and we had to play that Fayette County team in the semifinals, and that is not a team you want to mess with, especially when you play them at home.
That's what I was going to ask you if you played them at Fayette.
They come out and they hit you in the mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, and I know they lost the championship game last year.
Mm.
I forget who they played last year in 4A in the championship game. But this year we get Sachs gets down to 3A. And we get in we call it up here 3A Region 6, the gauntlet region.
Mm.
Because you've got Sachs, you've got Piedmont, you've got Randolph County, you've got Weaver, you've got just a whole slew of teams in the county. And so far this year, we have, you know, lived up to our expectations. We're currently number one in Class 3A. After Randolph County losing, we became number one. And this past Friday night, we had to go to the Field of Champions to play Piedmont, who hadn't lost a, you know, regular season game since 2014.
Oh, wow.
And we jump up on them early, 15-0. After, you know, driving down the field and scoring, and then they turn the ball over and we drive back down the field and score. They come out and scored a few on us. It was, I think it was 15-6 at halftime. And, you know, Piedmont scored again in the third quarter to make it 15-12. We stopped them on their 2-point conversion. Well, I think the story of the game was Piedmont had to punt at the end of the third quarter. And Sachs held onto the ball for a 14-play, 53-yard drive that took about 8 minutes off the clock.
Oh, nice.
And it was capped off, you know, 2 fourth-and-1s where we had to get them.
Right.
We ended up getting them. And then a name that you'll probably know and hear from down here, his name is Jonathan Cobb. He's our senior running back. Had an outstanding game, was a workhorse. Our quarterback went down in the second quarter with an apparent hamstring injury. And he ended up with 134 yards, I think, on 15 carries. And he ended up, you know, our backup ended up punching it in 6 yards in the end zone. That's what got us to win there at Piedmont, their first loss at home since 2014 during the regular season where they lost the lead.
And, Chris, you mentioned Sachs getting to the top of Class 3A after Randolph County losing. We'll run down the Class 3A top 10 for those folks who may not know. Sachs atop that with a 5-0 record. Mobile Christian comes in number 2. Piedmont at number 3. So you guys still right there neck and neck. Piedmont 4-1 after the loss to Sachs. Randolph County at 4-1. Winfield 6-0. T.R. Miller always in years past, continual powerhouse. Fultondale setting at number 7, Thomasville number 8, Providence Christian number 9, and Gordo checking in at number 10. That's your top 10 in Class 3A. We'll run down the others as well, but wanted to go through Class 3A while we had Chris on the phone from Sachs.
So if Sachs stays at the top of the list, who do you expect, Chris, to see last game of the year?
You know, this is funny. My wife is actually from Pell City, and we actually had a T.R. Miller's coach last year at Pell City, Keith Etheridge. And one thing I know about Coach Etheridge is when he was at Leeds, he really, really knew. He was a great man. He was a great man. I'll give him that. But he really knows how to talk to his players. He has his players all in on him. And so far this year, it seems like T.R. Miller's doing a lot of damage this year in 3A in their region. I would not be surprised if we played Mobile Christian. I would not be surprised if we played T.R. Miller. I think that's probably going to be your South little championship to decide who plays, possibly Sacks from the North.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of looking at a lot of teams from the North and trying to figure out who we could possibly play. I'm going to have to go back, but I think the way the order is, I think we play Region 7 first in the playoffs.
You know, there's
either
a good
seven or Region 5.
There's a good possibility, Chris, as you work through those, you may end up with a rematch against Piedmont. You may see Randolph County, and T.R. Miller is going to be strong in Class 3A because they've for years been in Class 4A. So they're one of those that could be one of your larger 3A schools, but they are historically a solid football program. Chris, let me ask you this, too, quick. Before we move on, I want to ask you this. How did you find out about Prep Talk Live on Live 95?
Good question.
Coleman News Tribune, on Facebook.
All right.
They actually shared, you know, you guys' Facebook Live video, and I was like, hey, I'm a huge high school football guy. So, not this coming up Friday, but next Friday, we actually play Randolph County at home, so, and that may determine our region.
Sacks and Randolph. I'm gonna make a note of that. We'll keep up with that one, and maybe we'll have you call back in.
This Friday we got Weaver, so that's going to be a tough one too.
And Chris, I'm going to go out on the limb as the guest host this week because the host isn't here, the other host isn't here, Josh is here, and I'll just take this up with Josh. But feel free to call in each week and give us an update on Sacks now that we've kind of started this.
Absolutely. And we need some closure.
I can do that.
Especially as high up on the list as Sacks is right now. I want some closure at the end of the season.
Okay, I can do that. We've got Weaver that's coming up Friday night at Weaver, and then we've got Randolph County next week at home, and then we've got Glencoe, who really is just Glencoe, Owen something now at the end of the season, and then November 2nd we are off before the playoffs start on the night.
Man, it's hard to believe that you know, playoffs are this close already. I feel like, you know, yesterday was our first opener games.
Football season started, and here we are 7 weeks into the season.
It actually seems like just yesterday we played the state championships in all classifications, and now all of a sudden, hey, it's back, really?
Right, yeah. I know, okay. I get so caught up in being ready for Saturdays to roll back around that I don't pay attention to, that's right, high school football will be done in half of that time.
And Chris, I can tell you, just because I know I'm sitting here across from Josh and I can call him a young gun, it only gets quicker as you get older.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
One question for you guys.
Sure.
There were two teams that we played back in 2013 in the playoffs, the second and third round. The first one we played was Lauderdale County. Mm-hmm. The other one we played was Colbert County.
Okay.
How are those two teams doing this year? And Cleveland also, if you guys keep up with them.
Ooh, Cleveland I should know more about because I am a Blount County boy.
But just from historically, Josh is looking up records now. Lauderdale County is going to continue to be strong year in and year out. Colbert County is going to be strong year in and year out and have been since the 60s. Same thing for Lauderdale County.
Cleveland's mediocre this season. They're 3-3 overall, 2-2 in their region.
Lauderdale
before. Yeah, there we go.
We also played Oneonta last year in our region.
Now, Oneonta is not ranked for some odd reason. They are receiving. See, go to Class 4. They are receiving votes. They're 4-1 on a season, and their only loss. I'm going to forget who it was to, but it was a very tight one. But they're not even ranked in Class 4A. They're 4-1 on the season. They've got a receiver, Jaden Kent, who is already committed to Troy State. And this kid is 6'5", and if they would just throw the ball up to him, he can jump
rebound
through the sky
more than anything. Yeah. We saw some of that last week in Friday Night Live. Lauderdale County 3-1 in their region, but 3-4 overall. So I mean,
and Colbert County will play Russellville, they'll play Deschler, they'll play Muscle Shoals. They won't walk away from playing anyone. So their record may have them a little bit down, but they're also going to be something to be reckoned with, especially if you have to play them in Leeton.
Mm-hmm. which Lauderdale has not played Westminster Christian yet, and I already know that name because they're like 7-0 so far. So they're
yeah,
one
Westminster
of the,
Christian is the real deal this year.
Yeah, they're one of those.
We've also got two boys that are offensive and defensive linemen. We've got one, his name's Jalen Childs, he's a senior. He's already committed to Troy, and we've got another offensive lineman, Mario Thomas, Jr. He's actually committed to Kennesaw State.
Hmm. Pretty good.
Chris, thank you for looking us up. And like I mentioned, yes. too, you're invited to call in each and every Tuesday afternoon on Prep Talk Live and talk some Sacks football with Chris and Dylan and Josh and the guys.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. You guys enjoy the rest of the show.
You too, Chris. Man. Thanks. Goodbye. We skipped over Coleman a moment ago. I was kind of hoping to get a call from Alan Willingham, who's the voice of the Muscle Shoals Trojans.
Yeah.
Kind of stepping out to try to get the inside from Muscle Shoals.
Well, you want to give him a little bit more time?
We got
a couple more.
We got a few more. Yeah, we'll give Alan a few minutes. We'll go on down to Hansville and Fultondale.
Okay.
Hansville at home hosting the number 7 team from Fultondale. Hansville, as we mentioned, struggling 1-6 on the season, 0-4 in the region. Fultondale comes in 5-1 and 4-0.
I think that was last week. Sorry to interrupt you, but I think that was last week because I have Hansville as a bye week this week.
Could be.
Okay, I will double check that. If you want to go ahead and jump to the Holly Paw game.
So the Friday Night Live game of the week this week, Holly Pond at J.B. Pennington. Coach Mike Bakes takes his 5-2 Broncos to Pennington to battle the 3-3 Tigers. We'll go more in-depth into the Friday Night Live game of the week when we come back. 5:44 on Prep Talk Live. The phone number is 737-9505. Call in, talk to Josh and I about your game coming up. We're back in a moment right after this on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Gateway Mortgage is proud to support Coleman County High School football. After all, supporting your community and giving back is what it's all about. Gateway Mortgage is a big lender with the ability to service your loan, but they're all about community and personal service. Josh Phillips, branch manager, says because of their Christian values, you can expect a culture that's different from banks and even other lenders. Those are the kind of characteristics you want from a personal mortgage team working to get you into a new home or your next home. You can reach Josh Phillips, Cameron Kimbrough, or Zeb Smith at Gateway Mortgage, 256-690-5617, 256-690-5617. Gateway Mortgage in MLS number 338177. Equal housing lender.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
Coleman Appliance Repair is your locally owned and operated appliance and repair company. Servicing most models and brands, they can be found on Facebook or Google for in-home appliance repair needs. Proudly supporting Coleman area athletics and collegiate football, when that appliance frustrates you and you're in need of a repairman, Robert Brantley is ready to help. You can call him at 256-507-3415 or find him on Facebook, Google, or online at ColemanAppliancerepair.com.
Happy Homes Real Estate is proud to sponsor Friday Night Live on Live 95. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you today. After all, they're the top producing agency in Coleman. And I bet if you ride around town this weekend, you'll see open house signs all over Coleman for Happy Homes Real Estate. For property management, buying, or selling a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you. Happy Homes Real Estate, where they believe every home should be a happy home.
A little Stone Cold action at 5:47 on a Tuesday afternoon. Tommy Warhurst alongside Josh Lawler on Prep Sports Live. We mentioned the Friday Night Live game of the week this week, Holly Pond at J.B. Pennington.
Yep. It's going to be a good game to watch for sure. J.B. Pennington looking for something to really swing their season into a different direction. They're kind of mediocre. They're on the fence. They're 3-3. They're 2-1 in the region. Holly Pond being 2-2 in the region, but Holly Pond ultimately having a 5-2 overall. So, Holly Pond looking strong as usual. But region only talk, it's a much closer game, right? Spoiler alert. I'm going to go ahead and give you my pick. Broncos 24-7. But that's because, Pennington winless at home. Of all places, can't lock down a home game. I think they're 0-3 at home, and I don't think that's going to happen for them Friday night.
Yeah, they are capable of scoring points though. They're the team that hung 70 on Hansville earlier this year, 79 if I remember correctly.
And that's good, but.
But, you know, you take that game away, they're only averaging 30 points per game.
Yes.
Holly Pond Broncos only giving up 15. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a good ball game. You guys are going to have a great one.
Yeah.
The winner can pretty much secure the third spot in the region with a win this week. So that means a lot. Both of these teams lost to Fultondale. Again, Holly Pond's only losses to Fultondale and to Midfield, two really good football teams with speed.
Football. I mean, Fultondale, very, very quick. That's for sure. And we've seen Fultondale go to town on almost all of the schedule, for them. But I think it'll be a close game, maybe closer than the scoreboard will say, but I think in the end it will say, 24-7, maybe I'd hate to give them another touchdown and say that it's a 10-point game. But the Broncos last week against Locust Fork, I wouldn't have thought that Locust Fork had scored any points on them, let alone keep it 36-10, you know, and that sounds like a lot. But in high school football, I mean, two scores, three scores can happen in no time. Right?
Yeah.
We saw that last week at Jasper, unfortunately. But, Vinemont.
Moving up Highway 31 north to Vinemont, the Eagles are 3-4, 1-2 in the region. They're hosting the Hornets of Locust Fork, who are 2-5 and 0-3. Locust Fork desperate for a region win. Locust Fork losing to Holly Pond last week, 36-10. Mm-hmm. Vinemont losing to Fultondale, 33-12, which has been a common song for our teams in the county. Vinemont comes in averaging 20 points per game, giving up 27. Locust Fort scoring 22, giving up 30. This one's going to be a close ball game, too.
I completely agree. You know, neither one of them at a terrible start, but not in a great start either. They're not the very bottom of any list, for sure. On paper, Vinemont should win, but I think Locust Fort may have something for them this week. I didn't expect them, like I said just a second ago, I didn't expect them to have such a close game with Holly Pond. That's Locust Fork. Being my alma mater, I kind of got an edge to them just a little bit. But I'm going to say like 24-23 Locust Fork. Just because they put up more points in several games. Looking back at their schedule, I didn't take a screenshot of their schedule. But, you know, looking back at Locust Fork's side, you know, they put points on a lot of teams I wouldn't have thought. I wish I'd taken the screenshot because they played John Paul. Is it John Paul II?
St. John Paul II.
Yes, that one. That name just throws me through a loop every time I say it.
Imagine broadcasting the game.
Yeah,
I did West Point and St. John Paul II probably 3 years ago now.
They need an acronym.
And yes, right? It was
But
I think Jason Coretti, who is doing the games within, called him SJP2.
SJP2. That's I'm going to write that down. I'm going to carry that through the rest of the year. But Locust Fork put up a bunch of points on them. Yeah, they still didn't win, but they put up points on that. And we've seen that team come back through and whoop a lot of Coleman County teams, right? So I'm going to say Locust Fork 24-23, and I'll probably be wrong. But this game is also important. Unfortunately, we didn't choose it for game of the week. But this is where Dylan graduated. Locust Fork's where I graduated. Right. You know, this one would have been a super fun one to call. But we'll keep it interesting in the booth when we're at Holly Pond.
You'll be checking score updates.
Absolutely.
Sure. Moving on to West Point and Dora. West Point 2-4 after a good 2-0 start. They dropped four straight. Dora comes in 3-3, 2-1. The Dora Bulldogs, always a strong team coming over from Walker County. West Point averaging 29 points a game, but they are giving up 42. Mm-hmm. And Dora coming in averaging 21 a game and only giving up 18. Dora lost last week to Corner 30-17. And West Point lost here on the Friday Night Live game of the week, 54-20.
Okay, so this is definitely the story of the hot stove, right? West Point starting off really good. You run over Fairview. Or no, wait, I had that backwards. You run over Fairview 55-27. And then you go up a little ways or you bring it back home and it's a close win over ARAP. So you've got two schools real close that you've got now have bragging rights for a year.
Dylan Diemert chiming in from Facebook Live. Apparently he likes your pick.
He likes Locust Fork over Vinemont?
He says, go Vinemont, good pick, Josh.
So. Oh, yeah, right. So, that one's definitely one to keep a close eye on. You may have to break up a fight in the booth come Friday, Jay. So
I have a mute button.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
And last but not least, the game of the county where I'll be Friday night as the voice of the Coleman Bearcats. The Coleman Bearcats hosting the Trojans of Muscle Shoals. Coach Basedon brings the Trojans in 5-2, 2-1 in the region. Coach Matt Puckett's Bearcats 3-4 overall, 1-2 in the region. The Bearcats could easily be 5-2 on the season. They lost a close game to Mortimer Jordan early in the season that could have gone their way. Mm-hmm. They had the game won last week against Athens, had every opportunity to win it. It just did not go their way. They lost 19-16. Coleman's other region loss to Decatur 38-13. Muscle Shoals beat Decatur 41-28 last week.
Yes.
The Trojans, a powerful offense. They come in scoring 36 points per game, only allowing 16. The Coleman Bearcats only averaging 21 points per game, giving up 22, but they've got a solid defense.
Yes.
The defense for the Bearcats have kept them in ball games this season when their offense struggled. And in fact, this week, the Coleman Bearcats can boast that they have the Coleman County Defensive Player of the Week, and number 29, Carter Lindsay, who was all over the field against Athens. This guy was playing like a man possessed to find a football. He recovered one, if not two, fumbles last week and probably had double-digit tackles. Mm-hmm. Every time he turned around, 29 was chasing the football on the field.
Oh, gosh.
So congratulations to Carter Lindsay. His dad listening in on Facebook this afternoon. So thanks to the folks who are listening in on Facebook or TuneIn Radio or streaming Live 95
That's
right. But to the ones listening also on 95.5.
Yes. Terrestrial radio, as we like to say around here. But if you've got any last-minute comments on the game, as I make my comments on this one.
You're so young.
Why?
Terrestrial radio.
Why?
Because old people don't call it that.
Oh, well. Dylan said it once, and I've ran with it ever since. Yeah, I'm trying to make up space. If you want to call in and make some last comments before the end of the show, 256-737-9505. My comments on the Coleman game, I completely agree. A lot of Coleman's games have been really close, whether the scoreboard said it or not. And they've got – we went there early in the season, I think maybe the second game of the week.
Mortimer Jordan.
And, yes. Super close game, and they you get to see, and that was only the second game of the season, but they've got several kids that know what they're doing out there. If you want to compare them to other people in the school, the running back from West Point, Persall's one of these kids. Coleman's got like three of them, right? Because they know their position, they know exactly what needs to be done, and sometimes, a lot of times, it feels like these are the only kids that are doing it.
Yeah.
These are the only guys out there that are doing it. But Coleman has so many of them, and Coleman, because of all of these games that have gone all the way down to the wire, they're doing something right with strength and conditioning. Right, they never fall off like a lot of these other schools on the list in the second half.
You'll see the other teams with hands on their hips and bending over. Not these guys.
These guys
had the toughest off season conditioning program that even some of the current coaches can remember in years past at Coleman. The one thing Coleman needs, I'll tell you because I tell you every Friday night, Bearcat fans, you know it's coming. Get off your butt. Stand up and cheer for your Bearcats. These kids are busting their tails on the field. You should be standing up and cheering for them when they're on defense or whether they're on offense. That's your challenge this Friday night for senior night. Get off your tail. Cheer for your Bearcats. I may not be invited back, but that's my rant.
You know, I like it. I like it. Well, you need that kind of energy in prep talk because I can put people to sleep. But
man, you sounded like Nick Saban.
Yeah, there for a minute. Right?
These fans aren't leaving. They just don't cheer. They'll cheer on Saturday for their college team, but they won't stand up and cheer Friday night. Go figure.
Yeah, it's all football, so we should be cheering all the time. But this has been Tommy Warhurst and Josh Lawler. Tommy, thank you for joining us. Maybe make a permanent member at the table.
I think
you need to do that. And thanks again, Chris, for calling in, and everybody
thanks
on Facebook.
Facebook.
And that's it until next week.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Baldwin County Coliseum is a Hurricane Michael shelter for evacuees traveling in from the Florida Panhandle.